Oh, fuck.
Pure Decking show number 203 for Thursday, January, what the hell is today, the 21st, and whatever the current year is, because that's the justification for everything. So it's the current year, and you know, no matter when you're listening to this, it is the current year. I'm Morphosis, the show about stuff that interests me. I am currently drinking Four Roses Single Barrel. It is quite tasty. Madman, what are you drinking?
I also have Four Roses Single Barrel on the rocks.
Excellent.
I'm assuming yours is on the rocks, because that's the way you drink that.
Well, rock, but yes. Only put one ice cube in it, I don't want to water it down too much. And, is that gross? We start the show, he goes ahoy and clocks out. Nice. Static, what are you drinking?
I have a quadruple neat Old Barton's with a mix-in of heroin and a side of I work with fucking morons.
Don't we all?
Right, are you? What do you got?
Talking to me?
Well, I mean, you Static's over there drinking heroin and pain. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Flint, Michigan's finest. Big glass of water. All the way from Flint.
All right, Fox, what do you got, man?
I'm drinking Full Sail Sessions Dark Lager.
Nice. All right, BSV, top us with you know what outclass is here, man. What are you drinking?
I just have my usual angry orchard. Sorry, I didn't know this was supposed to be a competition.
At least stick a celery stick in it or something. Make it fancy, man.
Well, I might kick it up a notch later and switch up to some 10-year Lafroy.
Oh, shit.
I like kitty litter. It's crunchy.
Fuck, man.
Nom, 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 nom.
I'll go well with that Flint, Michigan water.
Yeah.
It would actually be better for you because it might absorb the water before you could get it into your body.
Mmm, clay. That's what you want to get. We got the kitty litter we stole from the nuclear plant.
Those are the party one time.
Yeah,
this dude was so baked off his ass, he was eating kitty litter again. He's like, oh, it's crunchy, man.
That is just an advertisement for don't do drugs.
Yeah, I know.
Or always have your smartphone ready.
This was before phones. The same guy later on that night was seen hobbling down the street using an ironing board as a crutch, crying out that he'd broken his leg.
I might know someone dumber. I had a person eat a poinsettia in front of me to prove to me they're not poisonous.
How's that working out for him?
We induced vomiting before anything major happened.
Wow.
That's up there with the that's up there with Madman testing the pull tab runaway in front of a cop. That was pretty funny. So I guess we should tell that story. We put Madman in the trunk of my car, and at my car at the time we noticed it had a little safety latch on it, and the little depiction on the latch literally showed the stick figure getting out of the trunk and running away.
And the tab glows in the dark, so with the trunk closed, you could see it.
We verified this by putting Madman in the trunk. He then opened the trunk and waved at traffic in front of a cop.
Wow.
It was fantastic. Oh, it would have been even better if we were at a gas station asking somebody where a hardware store was when he got out and ran away. Anyways, oh, shit. Come on, Fox. You gotta help us with a stupid story.
Oh, fuck.
Something, something, something sod.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Had sex in the back of my car while I was driving it one time because he almost died.
I almost put one of my best friends through the windshield of my car after the seatbelt law passed in my state. someone told me that it was a primary law and you could actually get pulled over for it. So I was doing about 85 miles an hour down a straightaway, and I asked if everyone had their seatbelts on.
Remember, no names.
So everyone in the car said yes, and I looked at the rearview mirror to make sure there was no one behind me. So I locked up the brakes on my car, and somebody went from the backseat of my car to my dashboard, screaming and clawing and grabbing at everything as he flew through the air and almost out my front windshield, which would have probably killed him. But luckily, wow, he came to rest on the dashboard, fucking
pale. That is
pale,
proper terminology.
And cussing me out. Later on, I got him to sign my yearbook that same day.
I had a buddy in the backseat of my truck who had a penchant for mooning things and cops accidentally. So he's in the back with Sard, and another buddy is up front with me, and suddenly the White Stripes, Seven Nation Army, comes on. It's got that nice drum beat to it in the beginning. And suddenly there's a naked ass in between the passenger and driver's seat, shaking in time with that drum beat. Dude in the passenger seat looks over and throws an elbow. Catches buddy right in the balls.
Oh!
Drops him into the back. He's crying and bitching, and figured he's learned his lesson, but I figured otherwise. And so I told him, like, oh, if it happens again, just leave it. And so sure enough, halfway through the song, that drum beat comes back, and so does the ass. Well, I decided to brake check him.
Oh! You've got two gear sticks in that truck.
I do have two gear sticks in that truck. He came very, very close to swallowing my shifter, and not with his mouth.
Wow. And that's enough truck. There's enough room in that truck for someone to actually sit there.
Yes, there is.
And we're going to need some alcohol wipes.
We don't go into low gear anymore.
You can remove those shifters and replace them with a new handle.
Yeah.
And if you do that, just send him his friend in case they have fond memories together.
All right. So the first one I want to talk about tonight. Brendan Eich, co-founder of Mozilla and creator of the JavaScript programming language, has unveiled his latest project, the web browser he's calling Brave. And it's interesting because it looks like he's forked it from a couple of different sources. The Windows version looks like it's based off of Chromium, or the PC version, I should say. The mobile version looks like it's based off Firefox, and the Android version looks like it's based off Bubble. So he's like just kind of copied a bunch of open source libraries or open source browsers, and he's supposedly making the safer browser Brave out of it. But here's the thing: the big claim to fame is it basically has Adblock built into it, but it doesn't just remove ads; it replaces them with ads from its own service. And on top of that, because you know, for privacy, it does not do tracking cookies and stuff like that. Instead, it uses your browser history to determine what you like and make its requests based off that. So it's doing all of its, you know, determining what you want to see in locally on your computer based off your browser history, but it's still replacing the ads with other ads and using your browser history to determine what ads to show you.
I thought it was cool when I saw blocks ads by default. But
keep reading.
Swapping your ads for other ads isn't blocking ads. It's just showing me the ads you want me to see rather than the ads that site wants me to see.
And not just ads, but ads based on your browsing history.
Oh
God, all the 4chan links you guys have had me click on.
Yeah. Do you want ads for 2 minutes shitting in a bucket when your parents come over to use your computer?
Six pack of Harlequin babies, $13.99.
Why do you keep getting all these ads for lotion?
And Kleenex really wants you to buy their new tissues.
They're extra soft and firm. Soft and firm.
Yeah, he said it.
Yeah, that's not a step up. I can just use Firefox with AdBlock.
They've told their investors that they're taking a 15% cut on the ads that they display through their browser.
Well, I can see that the ads are going to be possibly safer because they might not have malware embedded in them. But honestly, if I'm going to give ad revenue to someone, I think it would be the sites that I'm going to, simply because if I'm going to them, then apparently I like them and I want them to keep, you know, putting out content.
Well, you're still giving ad revenue to them. It's just 15% is going to the...
So he's still going to be giving part of his ad revenue to the sites that I'm going to?
No.
No, he's taking what they would be making. He's taking a percentage of that.
Oh, so he's just
like
taking...
It's one thing,
yeah.
Oh, okay, hang on.
It blocks
they've
that
got
by
the
default,
in the article then, here. I missed this earlier. So, he takes 15%. 55% goes to the publisher, 15% goes to the ad supplier. And the last 15% supposedly will be returned to the user, which they can then use to make micropayments to their favorite website.
What?
There's no technical details of how the hell this is supposed to work.
This is almost as bad as Microsoft BS. Trying to pay you to use Bing.
So I'm going to have to give them a PayPal account. If you use Bing, they'll give you a... Microsoft points that you can use for their online service for their Xbox.
Well, I think the 15% being returned to you in points is not money. It's going to be like, what's this thing? Brave points or something.
Oh, so it is a Bing knockoff. It's a complete fucking Bing knockoff.
So
only worse.
The only thing that drives me nuts is this thing's already got 1.75 million euros or $2.5 million in dollars in angel investment. So, I'm just kind of wondering how long before the other browser players start going in with this concept of, we're going to show you our ads, not the ads on the web page, and, we're just going to go ahead and use your browser history to do it.
And I wonder how the website owners are going to react to that, because they're already pissed off about AdBlock, and now it's not just AdBlock, which I would be happy with just not seeing the ads entirely, but they're still having ads being stuck on their website. They're just not getting as much money from it anymore.
Yeah. So I guess I don't know what to make of it. Personally, I run AdBlock, 99.8% of the time, but that's because malvertising is so prevalent that I just don't even want to go there. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Have you, even with before the advent of AdBlock, was there ever an ad that you actually clicked on?
No.
Yeah.
Never.
Exactly. But I don't have any problem running ad block all the time.
Drunken
misclicks,
maybe?
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Okay,
some,
okay.
When they take over the whole page, it's a bit hard to avoid.
Yeah, those kind of ads, no. The kind of ads you're talking about, the stupid pop-ups and the sidebars that aren't very useful, you know, the ones advertising ass cream or whatever. But now, when I'm listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube video of someone that I have at least some respect for, and they recommend a product, saying, hey, I use this and it works well for me, I do at least take a second look at it.
Well, yeah, that's
so.
That's actual...
I mean, I'm not saying advertising is dead, but the pop-up ad and the banner ad is.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I respect people that, like, will... You know, they'll go to a place and be like, man, Prize Electronics is a really cool store. They should really pay us off saying Prize Electronics. You know, or something along that line. But, you know, when it's just intrusive bullshit ads or something like you know you're never going to click on.
That's it's like Prize Electronics.
You know, you one-time Google searched for something by accident because you weren't paying attention to what you were clicking on. Now we're going to show you ads on every website you go to of exactly why you need to buy ladies' tampons. I mean, it's just like...
Robbing
ads
the rape
have
donkey.
Nothing to do with the sites or something that you're looking at?
Yeah.
I've been checking out different gun sites. I want to get a different pistol. So if I saw a gun ad, I would click on that. I would check it out. But getting random feminine hygiene products... Or a subscription to the Washington Post. Those aren't things that are going to appeal to me.
The reason I use the feminine hygiene products, because it seems like every time I turn off ad block, that's the ads I get. I have no idea why.
Well, it's because everybody wants to see an ad about something that bleeds 7 days out of the month and doesn't die.
Well.
But yeah, this is a terrible browser from the looks of it.
Well, I mean, they're just grabbing an open source browser and laying this technology on top of it, which is, you know, they're not even writing their own browsing engine, which is strange because the guy they got running the thing obviously knows how to if he invented JavaScript.
Yeah, well,
and co-founder of Mozilla,
yeah,
the browser that I'm currently using.
You know, the guy that wrote JavaScript, like, how secure do you think your browsing session is going to be anyway?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can I ask to update itself every time you fucking click on a link?
No, you're thinking of Java.
Yeah, that's...
No, he wrote JavaScript.
Oh, right, okay.
JavaScript is the scripting language they named after Java because Java was trendy.
Yeah.
They actually have nothing to do with each other.
Okay.
Like literally, Java is a C-based object language. JavaScript, I don't remember what it's based off of, but it's whatever the standard was, it's not C. Like EMCA script now or something like that, but I mean, it has nothing to do with Java.
All right.
So, anyways. So, yeah, terrible idea. I might pull this down later and play with it just to see how terrible it is, but I didn't even think it was worth doing that when I first read the article. I'm sure there'll be some puff pieces that come out later to talk about how wonderful it is, but it seems like every time you see a new browsing engine pop up or a new browser pop up, it makes it approximately 15 seconds and then disappears. So
probably hard to break into the market. Everyone kind of gets set in what they want on their computer.
Well, you've got a lot of people who still use Internet Explorer because that's what comes on the computer and it works. And then you have, you know, I usually stick to Firefox, but I'll occasionally use Chrome. Oddly enough, I use Chrome on Linux more than I use Chrome on Windows.
You hate your RAM, don't you?
Mildly, and also the fact that Chrome includes a functioning Flash and a few other plugins that make things like Netflix work. So that's handy. So you do have to have the discipline to, okay, this is a page that needs Flash, so I'll open it in Chrome, versus this is a page I don't want tracked, so I'll open it in Firefox. Although Firefox is starting to get a little bit scary too with integrating Pocket and ads on the homepage. So, I mean, I don't know, man.
At this point, I'm just preparing for jail.
It's like, what do you use? I use Lynx on the command line. That's the only browser that is safe anymore.
Everybody back to the BBS.
Quickly!
Give me my green text monitor.
You know, you say that, but I've had as Digital Dojo a project to emulate those old green terminals on a modern Linux machine.
Why?
Nostalgia, mainly.
Because
nice.
Alright, let's do this next one. This is, of course, yet another state has decided, this time California, now wants to ban the sale of encrypted smartphones because apparently encrypted smartphones are the bane of governments everywhere. So California's the home of the world's biggest technology companies and a believer of everything giving you cancer has... terrible bagels and the only place that can suffer both drought and flood at the same time. Despite the state's deep tech roots, California's legislators considering banning devices that come with unbreakable encryption. Assemblymember Jim Cooper, Democrat, introduced the legislation, Bill 1681, which requires any smartphone manufactured on or after January 1, 2017. So at least they're not, you know, pushing it into the past like New York was. And sold in California after that date to be capable of being decrypted and unlocked by its manufacturer or its operating system provider. specifically Apple or Google. Any smartphone that couldn't be decrypted on demand would be subject to the seller to a $2,500 fine.
But cell phones without encryption cause cancer.
No, it's cell phones with encryption cause cancer.
Is it illegal to go out of state, get one, then bring it back into the state?
It wasn't probably sold in the state. You're good.
Wait.
So, it's banning the selling of them in California.
Yeah.
So Nevada and Washington are going to start selling all California cell phones.
Apple has previously said it cannot feasibly bypass a user's iPhone or iPad passcode, making it impossible to respond to warrants for data stored on its devices. Google was implemented simple encryption, and they're not available for comment outside of business hours. You know, one of the reasons they set it up this way is because of privacy concerns. The other reason is there's no feasible way for them to charge the government for the service. I guarantee you, if they could figure out a way of saying, sure, we'll decrypt that phone for $1,000, that they'd do it.
You know how you get around Apple not being able to give you one of its users' information?
You do regular police work?
Yeah, you get a subpoena for Madman's cell phone. You show up to Madman's apartment with guns and dogs and tasers and say, hi, here's our warrant, here's the subpoena, give us your phone and your phone records. Because I'll tell you one thing, Madman doesn't want to get shot by a bunch of angry cops.
So what I find really funny about this is that you just said Apple has previously said it cannot feasibly bypass the user's iPhone or iPad passcode. 4 days ago, Apple demands widow get court order to access dead husband's password.
Is that for iTunes, not the phone? Because those are different things.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it real quick.
The reason I ask is because everything you've purchased through iTunes goes into an iTunes library. And Apple's stance is when you die, your purchases basically evaporate. They disappear. So, you know, it's not like a physical CD collection which you can bequeath to someone as part of your will.
Came from Madman.
Yep, there it is. So Apple's stance has always been that no, you're a license, and when you die, that license expires. So if they're talking about resetting the iTunes password so that the widow can get into the account, they probably are fighting that they've probably written themselves into a corner with their own security policies, because iTunes account, especially after the fappening and shit like that a couple of years ago, they're probably crazy about trying to make sure that these things are secure.
I still find it to be similar, though, in regards. But no, I understand what you're saying.
Well, but here's the difference there, though. If you're talking about access to an account, of course they can reset the password and let somebody into it. That's a policy thing. If you're talking about the passcode to your phone is encrypted in hardware. So, any reasonably modern iPhone or Android phone does this, where if you desoldered the flash chips in the phone and put them on a regular USB controller and plugged them in, or tried to put the board in a different phone or something like that, you're not going to be able to read it because you don't have the codes that are in hardware. The passcode, they used to have a bypass for it, so I guess Apple's removed it, or at least claims to have removed it. But through iCloud and shit like that, they used to be able to reset the device. But it would be data that's not backed up to a local iTunes, you know what I mean?
Maybe they could reset it back to factory settings, but whatever was on the phone could be lost.
It would be lost, right. So unless you have the phone set to back up to iCloud or Google, the data is probably gone. But a lot of phones do that. Like, I have to make a specific point of turning it off every time my phone updates, because it decides that every time the phone gets an update, it turns back on the iCloud crap, and it's like, I don't want this.
Yeah.
I'm okay with...
You don't want to be in the next fappening mobs?
Well, my fabulous flabby body, I know it would get so many people excited, but...
hey, there's a board for everything these days.
Yeah. It's more the I'm okay with the concept of not saving everything on my phone if I forget to back it up. because, you know, it's my phone and I feel like I should do that. But, you know, by default, these things dump everything out in these accounts anyway. So if they just said, okay, we want access to that iCloud account or that Google account, you know, these companies could do that.
Yeah.
But because they're specifically demanding the data on the device, yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't understand why these governments are losing their mind over the concept of a device that they can't order unencrypted. I mean, I guess it's just a control thing. But
I think part of it, though, is because of the large amount of influx of refugees, quote-unquote, that is coming. They are buying iPhones, Android phones, in waves and mailing them before they ever get here. And so I think that has something to do with it.
Ooh, I didn't keep the story for decking because I thought it was silly, but ISIS just put out their own encrypted communication app.
There you go.
And what a well-made piece of shit that'll be.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't even keep the story in decking because I thought it was silly. But, yeah, so I don't know. We're going to legislate encryption away, and then we will never have secure computing ever again in this country. But I don't know how you legislate it away because it's open source. I mean, it's math. Anybody can go download the damn math. So, but speaking of governments being terrified of the internet, this is from The Verge. Egypt is organizing arrests of Facebook users who they claim were organizing protests on the anniversary of the Arab Spring. 47 Egypt has arrested the administrators of 47 Facebook pages. Administrator is a strong word for a Facebook page, but we'll let it go. Egypt has arrested the administrators of 47 Facebook pages that it says are operated by the Muslim Brotherhood. The arrests come ahead of the fifth anniversary of the 2011 Arab Spring, in which they ousted Mubarak and made everyone in the world think that they were not going to become a Muslim theocracy. You know, Thursday that the number of Interior Ministry spokesperson Abu Bakar Abdel Karim told Egyptian media yesterday that the suspects are accused of calling for protests ahead of this month's anniversary, inciting against state institutions and the spreading of the ideas of the Muslim Brotherhood. Egyptian security forces have cracked down on the dissent leading up to the January 25th anniversary, arresting activists and shutting down public gathering places, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, newsflash, in totalitarian states, you can be arrested for what you post on the internet.
Yeah, they don't have a First or a Fifth Amendment, apparently.
Sorry, those 47 people can look forward to being sentenced to death.
They'll probably just get sentenced to being beaten for a while.
But still, I mean, it's to the point now that you can be arrested for what you put on your Facebook page.
Nah, it's only Muslims. Who cares?
I'm going to have to say that's not really new, Morps. Dinah, for a very long time, was arresting everyone that spoke out against the party. Anyone remember Tiananmen Square?
I don't disagree with you there. It's just the concept is spreading.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Nothing happened ever in Tiananmen Square.
Nothing ever happened there.
Nothing ever happened.
You should stop getting your news from Baidu.
Tibet, nothing ever happened there.
Nothing ever happened in Tibet. It's a beautiful place.
Beautiful place. Myanmar is a very... You can buy Cokes there now.
You know, lovely land, lovely people, nothing ever happened, zero crime, zero corruption.
The Ministry of Truth is calling. They said that I have to make some revisions to the audio recording, strangely enough. Anyways,
everyone in the room and listening online must report to room 101 Tuesday at 4:45 p.m.
Can do.
Next one up is from fandroid.com. Amazon's delivery drone. I love this headline. Amazon's delivery drones can avoid trees and other obstacles, but not the bullets people keep shooting at them.
Fucking amazing.
I guess I need to stop.
Amazon is taking a big step in introducing drone delivery to the masses, but it doesn't come without its challenges. Company Vice President of Global Public Policy, Paul Mansner, sat down with Yahoo to talk about some of those challenges, and he went to surprising detail about some of the issues they face. One of the more interesting subjects was drone safety, which is an obvious talking point after the FAA, demanding everyone register their drones. Amazon says flying their robots of awesomeness were designed with nothing but safety in mind, knowing the drones could detect trees and other obstacles and be sure not to fly into them. The drones are more like horses than cars. If you have a small tree in your front yard and you want to bang your car into it for some reason, you can do it. People won't be happy with you, but you can do it. If you try riding a horse into a tree, the horse won't do it because the horse will see the tree and go around it.
Horses are literally retarded, though.
I've seen some pretty dumb horses, and they put blinders on those things for a reason.
Yep.
He says his drones know not to run into it. Amazon says the biggest obstacle they have are the thieves who gun down the drones in attempts to steal the goods being delivered, which is certainly a big issue. Their hope is that the problem will eradicate itself as people get bored of doing it. Especially since many of the items they'll deliver won't be too valuable, as Amazon plans to limit drone delivery to items that weigh 5 pounds or less. You can still order a MacBook Air. Amazon also thinks drones will become as common as seeing delivery trucks, so people will look at them and won't think twice about doing anything. Except delivery trucks have people in them, and people can carry guns and baseball bats and other things to prevent you from stealing from them.
They can call the cops.
Although there was that video of the guy who mounted a flamethrower on his drone, so I kind of want to see the Amazon flamethrower drone so that people don't...
That's just the one you shoot first before you shoot the one with the shit on it.
The drones with the little buzzer drones that protect it. I love that reasoning. Yeah, people get bored of doing it.
Yeah, how long have clay pigeons existed? People still haven't gotten bored shooting them, and they have an arc. You can predict where they're going. They're going to eventually start trying to do evasive maneuvers over certain sections of the world where there's like a high drone fatality rate.
I've always thought about trying to, if I ever got one of those delivered to my house, I was going to grab it and like stick it in my garage, take the battery out of it.
I ordered the drone, right? And, see if you can surf it.
Yeah, grab a hold and wait for it to lift you up.
Hey, most babies weigh less than 5 pounds.
Wow.
Here, honey,
do the drones have a return?
Well, they obviously have to go back to Amazon.
Well,
can you imagine being the poor schlub at the Amazon warehouse who, the drone comes back in and the little delivery robot they use in their warehouse? Because if you haven't seen those are actually really cool. There's little carts that lift up the shelves, and so it's like, and there's a baby on it. It's like, what the fuck?
Ted, it happened again.
Or what happens if like someone's cat attacks the little drone bot and gets airlifted back up with it?
Hopefully it has a collar and a phone number.
Bill, we got your cat
again.
You stop letting him out of the house.
So next one up is from Android Central. I don't know if everybody has seen the Linux kernel vulnerability that everyone lost their mind over. Actually made it really difficult to find decent news stories because it was all about the Linux kernel vulnerability. Short version of it, they patched a kernel bug that has been in the kernel since version 3.8, so a couple of years now, that was specifically related to a part of the kernel that's used for keyring support, specifically the config keys kernel configuration. It's a way of slinging commands through the kernel so that they can access the encrypted space of the key ring with appropriate credentials. Turns out you can overflow that and basically get root access on a Linux box from a lesser account. Privilege escalation is nothing new, so first of all, stop losing your mind. These vulnerabilities have existed since the dawn of operating systems. And it's been patched. Now, the place this is going to be a problem is things like Android phones that have the vulnerability, because it's going to be forever for those to get upgraded. And the way people just grab software out of the Play Store and run it if they're vulnerable, the app could do privilege escalation and start installing malware on the phone. So Linux servers, if you have some way of, you know, getting onto it and running code, so, you know, there has to be some other vulnerability for you to get in there in the first place. But Android phones, malicious applications could take advantage of this very easily. So update your phone if you can. If not, go grab Cyanogen Mild when they update it and put it on your phone.
Make sure you don't download just random weird shit.
Yeah, there's that too. But you people are dumb. So.
Yes, they are. Rule one, don't be tarded.
You know, I gave a talk at work, and it's like, so what's the best way to not get viruses? Don't click on shit. They didn't like that answer. They thought that was too simple. No, they wanted advanced anti-malware and browser plugins and Google Chrome and shit checking your data. No, just don't click shit. Seriously. Very simple. But that logic has lost on people, so...
Not but just anyways, that logic, but most logic.
Yeah.
How many things do you actually need to view as part of your job?
You'd be surprised. For most people, it's not that much. Handful of internal websites for data, Office app, your email. Your email is going to be probably the biggest vector there. So again, just pay attention. Don't click shit. If you open the Excel document that says you need to enable macros to see your form, unless that's a common thing for your business, don't turn macros on. And it shouldn't really be a common thing anymore, but some places it still is, unfortunate. So.
Most businesses, you don't need to actually go to Facebook.
No. Everyone always thinks I'm joking when I suggest blocking things like Facebook, too. I don't know why. But anyways, this next story is pretty interesting. It's from Fusion.net. I'm not going to read the whole thing out, but the gist of the story is that for some reason, when people try to use the Find My Phone feature of the new Android and iPhones, many of them are showing this couple's house in Atlanta.
Oops.
Why are they stealing everybody's phone?
Yeah, no kidding, right? But so they have people showing up at their house all hours of the day demanding their phones back, right? And it's like, we don't have your phone. We don't know what's going on.
Oh, and, God, he has a man bun.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, are you – go check his picture. He's got a man bun. He's like the worst hipster ever.
I am so glad this has happened to them.
Artie was feeling sympathy before, but now he doesn't give a fuck.
Man bun. Oh, like this guy is that?
Look at that pretentious piece of shit.
The hair.
He's even wearing gloves.
I'm not seeing the same thing you're seeing.
I see the man.
The couple who are in their 20s. She's a journalist and he's an engineer. Worry the police will kick down their door one day.
I don't. Yeah, that one. But I don't see the pictures.
Scroll down.
It's right underneath it. Yeah.
I got ad block on mine too, and
I'm not seeing the pictures. Not loading on mine. Weird. Don't care. So, fine. He deserves it because he wears a bun. But, so the story goes on about it's multiple carriers, it's multiple phones. Nobody can figure out why all these phones are reporting their house. Apparently this issue has happened before with people where, you know, like the default location. Yeah, okay, they're hipsters. The default location of the GPS in the phone, if the phone had no signal or wasn't working right, was some guy's address. So people started showing up there and even had police raids. But, so this random house in Atlanta, you know, owned by hipsters. Well, actually, it's owned by their parents. that's why they're not moving, is because they don't actually own the house their parents do.
Is it a real story or an urban myth?
It's a real story.
It sounds like the house of Beep.
But they've had the police raid their house a couple of times because somebody used to find my phone and they had like a missing child. So wow. they don't the story is that they have no idea what's going on, and they there's you know, everyone they've called about, they've called AT&T, they've called Apple, they've called Google, they've called T-Mobile. None of them have any answer for them. They're like, eh, we don't know. We don't really care. Not our problem.
We know what's really going on.
Yeah,
they really have it. Yeah, exactly.
You know, some kind of an underground. Actually, now that I see that picture, see, I never saw the picture of them. It never loaded on my page. I kind of wonder. I'm teasing. But it is interesting that just all these devices, for like, they've got a library or something that's messing up and picking this house, this location, as where they are. Or, you know, they really are funneling all these stolen phones, and they just did the story not realizing.
That's so weird on multiple carriers and multiple makes of phones.
Well, you have things like Skyhook, which are licensed, and GPS libraries, which are licensed, which are going to be common to a lot of your phones. So, if they're not, you know, actually an underground phone smuggling ring that or phone mules, what's likely going on is there's something in one of these libraries that has a default location or a bug in it that's causing it to select this location if there's no signal. And they their house is just inundated with people demanding their phones back.
Have they looked at their neighbors?
Well, that was the joke, right? Was that maybe their neighbors are the ones stealing all the phones? But you know, the article, they go through and talk to a couple of different experts, and it's just interesting because it really is probably like a bug in a piece of code somewhere. That, like, Cycros in the chat room are wondering what the latitude and longitude are. They probably are like a nice round even number, like some kind of a default starting point, you know?
Yeah.
And if the phone doesn't have any signal because whoever stole it was smart enough to throw it in a Faraday bag, you know, so it didn't get locked or reset itself.
A blood or a crypt is going to lose their phone, go to that house, and those hipsters are going to die.
See, this is why you should work for the Pentagon, madman. You're always seeing the worst.
Bubs is an optimistic pessimist.
Next one up, this one is from the BBC.com. RU sent me this story. Security researcher has said software developed by the UK intelligence agency GCHQ contains weaknesses, making it possible to eavesdrop on phone calls. It's the security protocol used to encrypt voice over internet calls. GCHQ said it did not recognize the findings.
Of course not.
Of course,
they're
not.
Just making their phones compliant with California and New York. They're trying to move into that market.
Yeah, no kidding, right? The network operator could listen to calls or authorize someone else to, and anyone who hacked the system would be able to eavesdrop. The what was the guy's name? University of College London researchers Stephen Murdoch described vulnerabilities. Okay, yeah, so Stephen Murdoch. One of Dr. Murdoch's chief concerns was the security standard has key escrow by design, meaning, for example, a third party has access to data sent between two people in a conversation. He said there's an example of a back door. In this case, it allowed an intelligent agency or the organization which is using the standard to intercept phone calls. So basically, GCHQ put together a VoIP package that is very easy to backdoor. An intelligence agency making it easy to eavesdrop on phone calls. What a surprise.
Yeah, but
Scotland Yard told them to do it. They did it.
It's not Prism all over again.
Well, not a lot of people are using this, I assume. But basically, they're using lousy crypto, and that's why it's just easy to break.
Go to the window. Dystopian future. You can see it from here.
All right, well, here's your next Ghost in the Shell story to add on top of that. U.S. military aims to create cyborgs by connecting humans to computers.
No.
No.
This is from The Guardian. U.S. government is researching technology that will hope to turn soldiers into cyborgs, allowing them to directly connect to computers. DARPA has unveiled a research program called Neural Engineering System Design, aims to develop an implantable neural interface connecting humans directly to computers. Not our new topic, blah, 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 blah. Philip Adelva, NESD manager for DARPA, said today's best brain computer interfaces are systems like two supercomputers trying to talk to each other using an old 300 baud modem. Imagine what would be possible when we upgrade our tools to really open the channel between the human brain and modern electronics. Yeah, they're not very efficient at the moment, but they're working on it. So,
wow.
Apparently, yeah, what they're doing is they're taking funding that came from the Brain Research to Advancing Innovative Neurotechnologies, which was launched by Obama in 2013, do this. And apparently, in 2013, Obama pledged $100 million towards research helping cure or help brain disorders. So they're hoping the computer interface will help brain disorders as well as, you know, let you
as well as
shelf.
Create super soldiers.
Thought-based targeted ads.
Well, just because they may get another application and further research.
It'll help this paraplegic man walk and this
and
pilot fly
tank.
Four different jets at once and blow shit out of the sky.
We're going to take this paraplegic man and put him on giant mecha legs, and he's going to go kick the shit out of the North Koreans.
That only works if he's blonde and gay and a former cross-country skier.
What?
Archer reference.
Ah, yes. Okay, I got it now.
Dukes.
Ray?
It took me a second. See, I was thinking
logic.
I was thinking like giant mech warrior legs, not just robot legs.
So with that logic, okay, yeah, we get a heap of money for funding brain disorders and stuff like that, but we're going to funnel half it into super soldier technology. So we got a heap of money for, you know, like boarding schools for kids with disabilities, but we're going to like funnel a heap of money into like death camps and prisons, sort of the same thing, you know?
Not quite. Because the programming to let you interact with something, it's going to let you interact with whatever's on the other end. So if you're trying to get somebody's brain
like
to run an exoskeleton and that allows them to walk, well, a paraplegic will use that to walk around the room. The army will use that to control a tank. It's
right.
You're not needing to double fund the money. You're not needing to really move it around. The same application can be moved around
if they
systems.
Have money to house, oh, what is it? Children, they can house the children in military camps and teach them to shoot stuff too.
Well, that's true, but
no, that would be closer. Yes,
think about this though. So, you know, the military is funding this. They want a brain-computer interface. Of course, the obvious thing is, you know, Ghost in the Shell prosthetics and shit like that. But I don't think that would be the actual use for this. Because one of the main problems with computers is, whereas they're very fast, they're very stupid. They take a lot of work to get to do what you want. And if one thing in that system changes, the computer has no ability to adapt. Now, what they're going to do is they're going to take paraplegics, basically cut off their head and put them in a jar, and they're going to use them as human data processors for, like, say, high-frequency stock trading, where the algorithms are good, but having an actual investor there who knows what the hell they're doing is even better. You know, or the router from Kennedy's thing. Yeah.
This story, combined with what they're going to do in China with the first official head swap happening this year.
Yeah.
you remember the Soviet dog and the robot?
Yes.
that's what I'm kind of envisioning.
Wow.
So let's
I should have had kids so I could have sold them for parts. Yo!
Hadouken! All right. first thing I have up for Digital Dojo tonight, and this is hilarious, is from chaoswebs.net. It is how to host a website on Tor on an Android phone over the cell network. That's a nice write-up of installing the what you need to do to set up hosting a hidden service like a website through Tor on a cell phone, Android cell phone. Now that's kind of cool because you can set up one of these, you know, hidden websites that nobody can find. But now, since it's going through the cell networks, you could like take this phone and rig it up to like in the back of a, say, a shipping container or on a drone or whatever. So not only is your hidden server hidden on the internet, it's hidden in real life because it's like constantly moving, flying around on a drone or something. Like, you know, you set up a weather balloon with some solar panels to keep the phone charged, and, you know, so it, like, circles around in random patterns. That's what I think of when I see this. It's like, yeah, I could make a hidden service on my phone, and that's kind of cool, but I could take my phone and put it someplace where it's impossible to locate with any regularity, and now I've got a hidden server that cannot be shut down.
Wow, this is the cutting edge of child pornography distributing here.
Damn it, he's right.
And I just had to go dark.
Sorry, I can't think of any other legitimate fucking use for this.
And you're going to call that a legitimate fucking use?
I was thinking more of just like, you know, a forum or like a place to discuss things, but you went right there and damn it.
I'll let you have your fantasy. Just not that fantasy. The forum fantasy.
No, I was thinking like forum or, you know, software and music exchange, you know, the standard cyberpunk underground kind of thing, not that.
Yeah, it's TriWire that can't be shut down.
Yeah. So it's where you keep all your TV shows that can't be shut down. But or I guess, you know, I do realize that's what a lot of people do with Tor, so...
Sorry.
Or Silk Road. It's a Silk Road that can't be, because they can't physically locate the damn server.
Anyway,
so last thing I have is a yeah. Thanks for that, Artie. Last thing I have is a
Madman. We need to move a story and bury it.
Is a nice list of security conference talks that have been curated and.
It's a list of
like...
sec talks.
Yeah, SEC security.
Wait. Oh, sex. Sorry.
That's RU's actually made sense. This one, that just uncross your eyes.
So is this Iron Geek?
Geek is on there, but UConn talks, B sides, whole bunch of different talks. A good list.
Ooh, is the transporter accident talk on here? I know I've already heard it, but it's still...
It's still a good one.
I don't see the transporter talk on there. I was actually there in person for that one, but... Because he ended up finishing way early. So he just sat there and shot the shit with everybody for a little while, but...
You
would get mad at me for name-dropping that one. So say what?
You can hear you on the mic. The end of the talk.
Shit, you can.
Yeah, you can. When you ask the question.
I don't remember what I asked him.
I don't remember either, but you're on there.
Doesn't matter. You know, you'd get mad at me for name dropping, but yeah, I actually did see that one in person, so I was sick. Yeah. But, anyways, I'm done. I've got nothing. My decking was ruined. Mad now.
It's surprising how many of these talks are around here.
Yeah, there really are. I'm going to have to make sure my calendar looks a little bit better this year. Go to some more of these.
Oh, and you can even write these off as work.
Yeah? Ooh, I wonder if I could get work to pay for them.
Dude, these talks are nothing but a four-day piss-up for fucking it for tech specialists.
What do you think we're supposed to go to?
Yeah?
Just like, hey, I killed that story, I'll kill this dream for you, Morps. And...
Everybody needs to know how to manually pick a lock.
Hey, you never know. That crazy bitch cuffs you to the bed and then leaves.
Wow.
Oh, fuck.
Anyone's got any spare weapons or nukes or anything? Just do Davos for me. Nuke Davos.
All right, I'm done. Anybody have anything else before I close out the show?
Eh.